I've got Yoshito Lote in here from the Kilauea Neighborhood Association.
Aloha.
I got to get you up a little bit louder.
Aloha.
Okay. And then you are the president of the Kilauea Neighborhood Association, and I know you from Waipa. And we just had a public service announcement for the music festival down there, and I'm really looking forward to it. They always have such a great environment right down there along the fish ponds out there on the beach. Is that where we're going to do this one?
Yeah, that's correct. So I guess not this weekend, next weekend. We have our first music festival, which is the opportunity to have all our Kauai artists to come and play music for us and enjoy the beautiful land that is made available for us at Waipa. And we hope to see everybody down there. It's going to be a lot of fun, as usual.
So much good stuff happening at Waipa. What I opened the show with was making a difference in this distinction between engagement and activism, and we need both. And Waipa, I would say, is an example of engagement. We engage all generations of folks down there for learning and learning within the cultural context of Hawaii and our mana'o about how living in the Ahupua'a system. Did you say that's a pretty good characteristic of what's going down there? You're pretty central down there at Waipa.
Yeah, I believe that we do have a site that offer the opportunity for basically every age group to come and get in touch with the land they stand on. And I believe that that connection is what will perpetuate that Hawaiian culture and that sensitivity to the uniqueness of this land.
Yeah. And our show here is kind of somewhere in between engagement and activism. And so today we're going to be hearing things. I'm going to own my activism on today's show. I wanted to speak about the Kilauea Neighborhood Association meeting tonight because it has so many examples, prime examples of what our community faces as challenges, both good and bad, or I shouldn't say good and bad, but opportunities and challenges, if we use politically correct words, both in our community, island-wide, and as a nation. Do you want to give us a little punch list? This event's going to start today at 6:30. Is that correct? At the Kilauea Neighborhood Event Association?
Actually,
Center?
The meeting is set to start at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And we will be covering a lot of basically our general meeting, which covers our budgets, our ongoing events, as well as new businesses. Of course, the new business is the one that everybody usually shows up for because they tend to address a lot of the concerns of development that's happening in our community. We, as the KNA, try to become the voice for the community to be represented at the county level and state level to be able to control and guide the development that's happening in our community. And oftentimes, developers tend to plow their way through, and we want to make sure that they do diligence to the law and that they respect the views and values of our community. So tonight, we have a lot on our agenda. It's going to be a grueling time. However, it's an exciting time because when lots of things happen, it engages more people to get involved. And we have the centennial for the Lighthouse in Kilauea, which is a week-long event that will be happening in May, from May 1st to the 5th, or maybe that's the 2nd to the 5th, Wednesday to Sunday. And we'll mark this centennial celebration with lots of events, tours, activities that happen at the Lighthouse. And on Sunday, we'll have a big parade down Kilauea Town, as well as activities in the park, where the Kilauea Neighborhood Association tagged along and want to celebrate and kick off our year-long event for the 150-year anniversary of Kilauea Town. So we're very excited about that. We're preparing a float. We're preparing a food booth as well as a informational booth that will educate everybody to know what's going to be going on for this whole year-long event. We encourage everybody in Kilauea as well as anybody on the North Shore to come and join into the festivities, maybe not just as a participant, but maybe as a volunteer.
Right. We see things like Kalua Days and Waimea Plantation Days. There's the Coconut Festival in Kapa'a. You know, these things stimulate community working together. There's lots of positive things. We can go into that one a little bit more detail in a bit, like just for the listeners who are going, all right, well, what are the hot issues that are in there? We have beach desecration, permit.
So that's switching to the new businesses and the more, yeah, business.
Yeah, we're gonna jump through a bunch of these, and we'll kind of move around
sure.
it so that, like, when people are listening, and in this, Yosh is gonna be here for the first half of the show, and then you gotta go get ready for the meeting.
That's correct.
And then the second half, we're gonna really be talking a little bit more and taking a lot of calls on the activism end of things with the, what's gone on with the GMO movement. There'll be a lot of different elements. There's many things that have come forward with the UN and the Small Arms Treaty and many issues that have been coming up over and over again. We have down there in Kilauea some issues about beach desecration, and then we have issues about permit changes on big fancy houses. And so we've, on many different shows, we have talked about that, like how things are with beach access, when there's this slow shifting of what people ask. And when there's an agreement, we think, okay, you made an agreement. Why do we change the agreement? Like if the agreement is you leave a path to the waterfall and you make it smaller about how much footprint you're going to put on the land, and then how come 2 years later, well, we want to revisit that, you know? So sometimes when there's a lot of money, people can afford to pay somebody to come in and revisit and revisit and revisit. And so even as we see in the world, we have the ability of the haves versus the people who don't quite have enough to be able to be pushing forward on the public process. What the listener knows, and I will claim my bias that I have quite a bit of interest on, and we will also move on to some of these other elements that are there, is this cell tower. There is an application underway for a permit, a variance, so they can put in a 4G, that's gigabyte, cell tower that has 12 panels on it between two churches, two preschools, a regular school, and next to the affordable housing. And claiming my bias, I live right across the street from it. So, of course, I'm very concerned. So that will come forward. Who was invited on the show today was the planning department, two directors, and
the meeting.
Well, they're coming to the meeting, but they were going to come onto the show.
Oh,
so, also was going to be the AT&T representative. So those three elected not to come on the air, which is fine. But I do want the listener to know that in all fairness, they were invited in to be giving this information. The county did answer a number of my questions written, and I will read that in a little bit. But they're all going to be at the meeting today. Correct? Tonight.
That's correct. And I encourage any concerned citizen, people that live in Kilauea, to attend this meeting so that they can get educated. I think that with our lifestyles, we tend to be too busy. We don't have time to pay attention to what's going on around us. And things slowly but surely change to a place where we don't want them to be. The only way we can change that is by getting involved, by participating in neighborhood association like ours, and to make it known that we do care about our future. And we're all busy, but we will take the time to stop by, to listen to the presentations. And I do, those people will be guests of the KNA tonight. And we have to be courteous to them and listen to their presentation and express our questions. It's more question. It's a question time and answers. And when it comes down to taking a position and actually maybe fighting or being in favor of a certain development, that takes place at the county council, at the planning meetings.
Though guaranteed, if people come, they'll have that opportunity. Even if you can just ask quickly, who all is in favor of this, support of it, who all is opposed to it, and who needs more information? Because when you do that, that helps both the presenters know, all right, where do I need to start? I think it also helps to take the anxiety out of the people who come and are fearful that either they're going to have to listen to, you know, 4 hours of everybody's mano'o, their ideas or their feelings, or that they're going to never be heard. So it's also a good forum to be able to allow a collective voice to be seen physically. I'm sure that there will be petitions or sign-ups where people can be able to just state their position. But body count matters, and I want to really thank the county planning directors for coming up. It's not normally their night, so what it's essentially done is move the public outreach to the community. It's rare that that happens. So this is a very good and important thing, and they will be there also to not only hear about the cell tower, but they'll be able to hear about beach access, permit changes, and beach desecration and the other issues. They'll be there for some of it. I know that there are, like, the AT&T folks are flying back tonight, so that'll have to be one of the earlier issues that come up. Is that correct?
Yeah, we want to make sure that our guests are going to be able to catch their flights back to Honolulu, because a few of them are not from this island. There's also a proposed church site that's going to be presented tonight.
Where's that going to be at?
Come tonight. You'll find out. Because I've got the details, but I'm going to let the presenter do his whole spiel.
Oh, okay. All right. So that we'll learn about a new proposed church site. So what I would like to do is actually, I guess, frame my case a little bit here, or the case, because I asked the county some questions, and they answered them. What is, as we've discussed before, there was a Telecommunications Act in 1996 as cell phones were just really, and wireless was just really coming out. The Internet was barely available in 1995. I remember because my son was born then. A year later, I was kind of trying out the Internet, but there was almost no sites on it. You know, there was very little. You could email, but almost no one had it. So I asked, what is the process for determining potential cell tower locations? And so the answer was, this is from Beth Tokioka, the communications person from the county. Potential cell phone sites are identified by cellular companies using their modeling techniques on coverage. So what that means is the cell tower companies get to say, well, what works most effectively for us? And then they look and they start to approach people. I said, are there limited zones? And it says, the code does not regulate the usage of land specifically for cell phone towers, rather the code governs form and character. So the county zoning ordinance really only looks at what does it look like, not what is emitted from it. Now, that's in part because the Federal Communications Commission in that Telecom Act said only we can say what's healthy or not healthy. And so for the county and the state government, they absolutely have no jurisdiction to be protecting the health and safety of the community in this case. They can only say, do you like what it looks like? Where is it at? And they have to be very, very careful. So when they're in a speaking environment, like on the air here, if we speak a lot about the health risks, that can create a violation in which then they aren't able to be able to even control them in any way. We have the opportunity to speak on other issues. I know for myself personally, because I've started to study what does this mean to live next to this, I'm a little, you know, distressed about it, because I feel like if they put it there, I will have to sell my house. I am not going to create an environment for my children where they are being exposed to so much harmful microwaves. It's called electromagnetic field radiation, and it is significant. There is study upon study that confirms that, though the FCC does not. I'm going to go through these questions that I asked her, and then we'll look at some of these other parts of it. But it says, is the private business agreement driven by the landowner and or the cell provider independent of any public utilities regulation? She said, I do not know. We do not get involved with the responsibilities of the Public Utilities Commission. But what we do know is it's the business owners coming together. I have up in front of me on the web something called leaseadvisors.com. This is from the telecom and media leases, and they have all kinds of little statements here of how they are able to convert the ground lease into a lump sum of cash. They do the lease negotiations, they do the lease consultations, and we've got all these testimonials of where people are very pleased at a very rapid opportunity to have money on a monthly basis. We have examples like golf courses, schools, hospital. It says their word was like gold. The transaction closed in just 21 days. I'm seeing these things that are flashing up on here. They do billboards and these poles. And so a lot of times people don't even really realize what they're inflicting on the community. In this case, it's Lighthouse Christian Fellowship on Kilauea Road that is putting this in. They're a very small congregation, so I imagine they would probably benefit from having the economic rent from this, but we've been definitely trying to communicate with them to not do this. So, it says, how can the community participate in selecting agreeable locations before investment and leases are signed? And the answer was, the planning department does not get involved with private landowner to private party agreements for interest in real property. So that's kind of good, I guess, in a way. But like when you look at something like this, that's a toxic application of land. That's my words, but it's definitely, when I've looked online here, there's community after community that are just fighting this up and down. It's very divisive because is threatening to people. There are places that are a little bit easier for health and safety, like on a hilltop away from houses. The projection of these rays goes down over a distance, but it's not that close. I mean, you have to be pretty far away to be in a healthy range. So, That's a big deal to me, because anybody could basically, if somebody says pimp out their land, these things could be popping up everywhere. Anybody can just about say, well, I want to get some money on my land and place them all over the place. And in fact, they are, but these 4G towers are much more significant. I asked another question. What are the core parameters needed by the cell providers in height, range, etc. for economic feasibility? I'd actually hope that the cell provider would tell us that, but the planning department does not have a set of core parameters for cellular phone usage. Rather, the planning section of the code focuses on form and character. So again, they would be looking at what does this look like at 80 feet tall. Now, in our case, this is almost on a plane, so it's going to be very visible from up at Crater Hill looking down, which is a very beautiful way of looking at the island. I walk my dog up there all the time. This is going to be 80 feet, so that's like more than three times the height of a telephone pole. It will look like a false pine tree, but it's going to be out there on the plain. There's a few trees around it, but this will be taller than any of those trees. So it will be a very prominent beacon on the horizon. And what I see that as being also is a very prominent beacon that depresses the economy. It's like condemns the neighborhood a little bit. What we see community after community, once a cell tower is very visible and known, it lowers the property values. I know for a person such as myself, I'm not going to continue to live there. It's not worth it for me to worry about the challenges that are inherent with these type of implementations. I had another question. Which layer of county zoning ordinances are in place to regulate this? Do they predate the prevalent use of wireless communications? Was a little unclear on the answer. It says the planning department enforces Chapter 8 and 9 and any plans adopted by ordinance. Some predate wireless communications, some postdate, including the Kilauea Town plan passed last decade. And in that, it did say nothing more than 25 feet high. And that was also in the North Shore development plan. So 80 feet is taller than 25 feet. There is something, there's a variance with utility poles in ag lands. It can go up to 50 feet. If they bring the tower down 50 feet, I mean down 30 feet to hit that 50 feet, it becomes much less effective in emitting the signal, and it's far more unhealthy for us. The last question, what is the feasibility of placement on public properties like near the water towers or adjacent to high-tension power lines where service roads exist and there's little proximity to dense housing, nursery schools, etc.? The answer was, if the county code is amended by ordinance to specifically regulate the usage of cellular phone poles, the reason for doing so would have to be in compliance with all federal state regulations as to avoid preemption issues. And I've looked up on, like, just one article that came out a couple days ago, Regulatory Capture of the FCC, the Federal Communication Commission. The subtitle is Time to Clean House. I will just give a little brief piece of that, and that's AT&T, with the help of Verizon and the cable companies, have captured the FCC and have been able to get the federal agency to create and shape a working group designed specifically to remove all regulations and obligations, close down the public switch telephone networks, and create new digital dead zones. There's a lot more in this article, but I want to switch back to you. Yosh, I know I'm handing you a hot topic there, but you had said, I always talk to my guests before we come on, and you know, you had some interesting points about how you want to facilitate this conversation happening at the meeting tonight. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea.
Yeah, I believe, you know, as the KNA, we're here to represent our community, to voice the concern of individual and to give them strength. It is a place also for the AT&T person to come and present their argument so that everybody can get better acquainted and have better information about what they're doing. Like, you know, Felicia mentioned, they're out for their own benefit, and we want to make sure that the benefit of the community is represented as well. And that is why we encourage people to get educated, to make a decision, and to voice their opinion. And that is what we're here for, and is hopefully empowering every citizen to remember that their voice, their vote, is what is supposed to dictate the system. So let's practice it as much as we can. We're not here to have a personal perspective. Our KNA is not out for its own agenda. We do support the plan that was made for Kilauea Town. We do support the voices of people, and we'll make sure that the county and other officials remember that. On that note, we have also working with the community to find alternative sites, to find ways to maybe have a tower a little further away from houses. And that is why tonight we have somebody to come and explain to us why they chose that site.
Great. We have a caller on the line. Aloha, you're on the air. Let me see. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. This is Lori Patch.
Hi.
I just wanted to reach out to the community and kind of give my side of the story and the community side of the story. Today, I dropped off 56 signed letters and 48 signatures in opposition of this 80-foot monopine cell tower that's actually going to be located approximately 100 feet from our favorite school teacher, Mrs. Thompson. I really want to stand up for her, not only myself and also the school, but all of us, this whole community. It's actually so incredible how our community is rallying and they're opposing this. I believe now we've submitted over 85 letters along with all the signatures and emails. So the good news is the people are opposing this. Kilauea is asking the planners to deny the variance and for AT&T to put it in another spot. Now, this is my personal opinion, is that there, to me, has been a lot of deceptive practices with this whole situation with AT&T. They sent us a certified letter on February 27th. It was postmarked. I received it early March. The map that they enclosed with it was beyond ridiculous. It was a Google Earth map of the almost the whole island and a tiny little pinpoint.
It was probably about a couple square miles.
Well, yeah, okay, I'm not real familiar with the Google Maps, but it you couldn't see where it was, so I guess I'll put it like that. And then with the letter, it also gave the tax map key, so even myself, I had a hard time trying to find it on a tax map key. But through all the networking and all the information, you know, we found out exactly where it is. Now, there was one person who testified on behalf of the Lighthouse Christian Church, I believe, and her name was Kathleen Beverly. And she tried to use emergencies such as if your kids are choking. I'm going to read from her letter to the editor because it actually on March 27th was her testimony. She mentioned when your kids are choking or have an accident or someone is having a heart attack or a stroke or a major car accident, you need an ambulance. Wouldn't you want your cell phone to work efficiently? How many people do you suppose in a year's time were rescued and saved by the use of cell phones to call an ambulance police department when no landline was available? So my impression is she's talking about 911. Well, the 911 system is a nationwide network. Keone Fox's testimony.
Keone Fox represents LE Wireless.
Yes, yes. His testimony at the Planning Commission meeting, he led us to believe that if we don't get that cell tower, you can't call 911. But that's not true. According to the FCC website, the FCC Basic 911 rules require wireless service providers to transmit all 911 calls to a PSAP, regardless of whether the caller subscribes to that provider's service or not. So I did some research, and I called Verizon, and I called them to ask them, what is the law with the FCC? And I was informed that it doesn't matter who your carrier is. It'll automatically go to the nearest signal, and it'll store the number, the information, and where that person is. So if an AT&T subscriber needs to call 911, it's going to be picked up by any phone tower. So that, I believe, that excuse is not legitimate. Also, for people, I just want to let people know what they told me, is that even if you have a cell phone that's inactive, like you know how you get a new cell phone and you upgrade? If you have a cell phone laying around the house, that phone will call 911. It'll go through.
Thank you very much, Lori. This is Yoshi. I'll just mention to everybody so that they know that there's actually two towers in Kilauea already. There's one at the Gemini Cemetery and then one close to the Kahili Road, which is Singular, and the other one, Verizon, I believe.
Right. So all the AT&T customers, if they need to call 911, it'll hit one of those towers.
Great.
So, you know, which is, so I believe that there was a little bit of misrepresentation there. And I think that when it comes to public testimony, that there needs to be, you know, all truths.
Well, people can make a mistake, but it sounds like that, I mean, well, you would think AT&T representative should have it correct. A person might be speaking to their fears, maybe the person from the church, that's their perspective, is that they're helping that way. But what you have discovered is there's not truth in that, and the AT&T person should know better. It's their job to know better.
Right. Another point I want to bring up is the children at the Kauai Christian Academy. Several parents have told me that they won't have their children go to that school if that tower is up there. And I look at it as a business and economical thing also, since we can't use the health. And today is the anniversary of my dear friend's, he had passed away 2 years ago from reoccurring cancer.
Kendall?
Mm-hmm. And I have to tell you, my fears, I've never ever feared of my cancer coming back, ever. But now that I see that they want to put this 80-foot tower up with all the electromagnetic radiation, I have to fight against it because I don't want to get cancer again. You know, my life has value. I want to be here to continue coaching, to continue to, you know, go through the community and do my volunteer work. And so I feel that this is a huge issue. It's a personal issue for me, too, even though I believe it's for everybody.
Well, I think it's strong for you as well because you have a grandchild at Kauai Christian Academy, and you're often attending that metal shell church right there on the KCA campus. Is that correct?
Well, right. The church actually doesn't have a certificate of occupancy, so we pray inside the tent. But they will be soon having a certificate of occupancy.
And as I look at it, you know, I'm kind of stunned that Lighthouse Christian Fellowship is doing it because they have a metal church, and it's like putting a metal container inside the microwave. I mean, it's going to amplify and confuse the signal. That's why you can't put metal inside of a microwave. These are microwaves. It's very different than a radio signal, which is a much longer wave. These are microwaves.
Right, right. And another point I wanted to bring up, because I've found articles of parents who have pulled their kids out of schools that are close to cell phone towers, that's being the economic factor. But I believe that there's people who come from Princeville and all through the community that bring their children there. But they also, when they drop their kids off, go to the local coffee shop and have coffee and stop at the little store and get gas. So there is an economic impact of less people coming in, dropping their kids off, picking them up, and just patronizing the businesses surrounding. And some people may think, well, that's, you know, but not that big of a deal. But it actually is. Every customer counts.
Well, I think it also has the possibility of depressing home values. I mean, that's something that I look at is that, you know, I got my little Akamai backyard scene there. I am very attached to my home, but I am more attached to the health of my children, and it kind of breaks my heart. I do have other callers holding.
Okay.
But you can call back.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much. I just hope people show up because, in all due respect, my life depends on it. Because if it goes up, I'm going to fight it to take it down, or I'm going to move. And it just breaks my heart that it's come to that. I really don't want it to come to that.
And it's difficult that it's right next to an affordable housing neighborhood where the county and everybody has gone through such effort to create an environment for people. And I, since I've gone around actually talking to the neighbors, there are many people who are in weak health. And so it's a concern for all of us.
Right. And I can't take the risk of my cancer coming back because I know how horrific it is. I've went through it once and I've witnessed a friend go through it, and I'm not going to go through that. So I need the community to rally and to show up at that meeting and help us out. We need help.
Okay, and we can thank KNA for that. We're lucky that we have a neighborhood association that is able to host an event like this and then, you know, provide that. And so I hope also that people understand Yosha's soft voice that says, remember us when you're not in a crisis, too.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you,
KNA.
Appreciate it.
Aloha. See you tonight.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you for holding. You're on the air. Can you turn your radio down, please?
Hello?
Hello? Can you turn your radio down, please?
My radio's not on.
Okay. All right.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me, dear?
Yes.
Thanks, Felicia. Yeah, it really concerns me. I think we've confused in our own quest for convenience and gadgets our values and priorities. Did you know that in the 70s, Russia outlawed microwave ovens? They called them radiation ovens Now, the first place to start is to educate yourself with the dangers of electromagnetic radiation. Now, let's just forget about cell towers. You know, I, like a lot of people, was addicted to the computer. My Apple desktop died after 9 years. That helped me break my addiction. So I only go to the library maybe 3 or 4 hours a week and get my fix on the library computers. And just like computers and of course microwave oven, TVs, all these things, they're convenient and they're nice and we enjoy them, but they're dangerous to our health. So I've lived here since 85, and I'm actually thinking of moving someplace as far away from development as possible. Kauai is an extremely beautiful place, but all this development doesn't seem to benefit the local Ohana who have been here for countless generations. They're just continually getting priced out of their homes. All this traffic, and also the thing is, you know, we can't really control the military and the government. They're really responsible for huge amounts of microwave radiation. And just as the lady who was a cancer survivor, anybody who's concerned with the health of their children and their own health, if they just start educating themselves, they will see that all these little bells and whistles, even though they're really nice and nifty, we don't really need them. Just as I, you know, when at Pauaniki, I went and I found an old crate in the field and a couple of pieces of refrigerated glass, and I made my first solar oven. So I've gotten to the point where, you know, that I want to be as less dependent on anyone else, especially the government and especially business. These two lovely entities, talk about horns of the devil, you know, and it just kills me that when Jesus said, well, what does it gain a human being to gain the whole world and lose one's soul? You could substitute the word health too, because that's part of the soul. So the point is, our values are totally messed up. All this thing about, well, what if something happens? What about your daily health that's being compromised by all these dangers? Not just the cell towers, but in your own home,
well,
your own
so,
lifestyle.
So let me speak to that with you for a moment.
Thank you, Felicia.
When we look at things, and as I've been trying to review where these challenges come up, you know, there is the GMO foods, there's a number of things that look at the same upswing in health contaminations. With the poisons, what helps them to go, well, we're not really sure what it is, so it might be, you know, you can't prove it's us. We have multiple vectors coming at our health, including spending too much time being stationary.
Amen.
But when you were speaking about sources of EMF, and I've been looking at it with a person who's very concerned because her family is sensitive to the micro EMF fields, and I learned a lot walking with her. And like our cordless phones, they actually emit a lot. Anything that's directly connected, like a smart meter or a cordless phone, their signal can be far-ranging and constant. When it's battery-operated, like the cell phone itself that you're holding on to, it's intense but for a short distance. And while it's ringing now, I never put my cell phone next to my head anymore. I haven't for about 2 years because I can feel my side of my head ache when I'm on it for very long. Mm. With these towers, and the 4G are much more substantial than what were the 1G or the 2G. Each one goes up, not just double, but it goes up exponentially when they put in these more bytes. And, you know, we get, those things are constant. It's not the same as that 6-inch to 12-inch pulse that comes out from your cell phone when it's utilized. But you can use an Ethernet line where you hardwired in on your computer. It doesn't have to be wireless. I've been trying to do that mostly. But, you know, I think that we really are hooked up in communicating. My argument isn't that we don't have anything wireless. I'm appreciating your speaking to moving towards simplicity, and I think there's a lot of accuracy with that. But I think that there is a compromise, and when you look at radio towers or anything, they're up on a hill, they're up on a knoll, and we just need to really work to make a county zoning ordinance that places these things where they should be. even if we have to pretend like it isn't about our health, the same way as the Food and Drug Administration is run by Monsanto, the Federal Communication Administration is, or commission is run by the telecom industry. So we're prohibited from having protective regulation, but we can still have localized elements that are keeping us safe in the near area.
I totally agree. There are contextual, situational concerns that we can use to mitigate, to lessen the effects of our modern life. But if we just look into the practices of other countries, for example, in many Scandinavian countries, in fact, I think in most, they have outlawed cell towers within the vicinities of schools and hospitals, etc.
Mm-hmm. And which is what we put it on. They prey on organizations that are likely to need money. So they go for schools and hospitals. So they're also on resorts. Oddly enough, they're on resorts. Those people won't be in there that long, but, you know, when they're getting both the GMO spray and they're getting the radiation from the cell tower, like, wow, you know, it's double hits a lot for $500 a night.
That's why I just suggest, you know, regardless of what side of the issue you might be on, just to start, you know, like Socrates, he knew he was the smartest man in Athens because he knew he didn't know anything, and therefore, if you just look, you know, be courageous and look on both sides of every issue. It may be uncomfortable for you, but that's the place to start with every issue you're really struggling with, and you'll see that I think it goes back to the great wisdom of the you know, the slogan or the motto of the state of Hawaii: the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. Now, how can this be a right relationship when these lovely corporations, which the Supreme Court says they're persons and they have more rights than you and me, and then our own lovely president and all these other people, you know, take away our rights and just water them down so they're practically nothing, that, you know, that it all, it seems like we're just living in a web of lies. And I just think that it behooves the individual citizen of our great country to really ask questions about, well, what are my values? What do I really need to live by? You know, and I mean, the word whole, the wholesome and holy, they're all related to the same core values. And the whole thing is, I'm glad I'm an older person, because, you know, I won't be around forever. But the point is, the way each year it seems to get, the lies get more and more intense and more totally distorted. Our lives are totally, you know, like if you believe the health news that a newscaster tells you, boy, I've got a couple of bridges of hyena to sell you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to comment on that, sir, because I agree with you. You know, you need to listen to both sides of the issue. You need to educate yourself, and you have done so. And I just would love to see that energy be turned into aloha, into positive, into solutions. Because,
well, the solution is, sir, and I humbly suggest, to break the dominance of the corporation, not just on Kauai, but all over our lovely country. It's just like, we should take back our country.
That's right.
Are being run by the corporations,
and that will be done by individuals just like yourself and myself.
Well, I think it's like each year it seems to get worse and worse. That's my humble opinion.
Okay.
That's not lack of aloha. That's just observation, sir.
So thank you, Frank. And then you can call back in a little bit. I want to be able to.
Well, thank you for listening to my concerns.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a lovely meeting. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye. Yosh, I know that you kind of got to get ready. You want to hang for more of the show, or do you want to be hailing on?
I probably should get ready for my meeting tonight. I appreciate everybody listening, and I am wanting to make sure that our community move forward, that the voices of the people is being heard, and that our agenda is respected and hopefully followed.
And you've got another moment just to tell them the other most key points on the agenda.
Okay, well, I think we covered the cell tower. We covered the beach development down in Kahili River. And then we also will be discussing a lot of the activities that will be happening on the 5th, on the Sunday, doing that celebration for the lighthouse as well as the Kilauea 150th.
Okay, all right. Well,
thank you
so much for all that you do. I really appreciate everything that the Kilauea Neighborhood Association and likewise like WIPA and all the other projects that you do. I need that back. And then the Wailua Kapa Neighborhood Association does a lot. I know the Hanalei Haena Community Association does a lot. So thank you so much. Every community association who is helping our county make things work. I have another caller on the air. Aloha, you're on the
Aloha.
Air.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Felicia, hi.
Yes.
Okay. The discussions are always great. I love listening to the soapbox.
Thank you.
And people are getting frustrated. You know, these are the government, the corporation, so on and so forth. Well, when you talk about government, it's us. We, the people, are the government. These people we elected are the ones. They shouldn't be running the government. We should be telling them what to do as a group of voters. If we can unite on a solid one when it comes up, a solid issue when it comes up at the next elections, we can let them know how we feel.
Well,
because we are the people.
I have
the people for the people.
I have some questions for you then on that. Is your radio
sure.
on? Can you turn that off?
Sure.
I have some questions on that because there's a few things that have come up, and I really actually I'm sincerely asking you your opinion. Like, for example, last Wednesday at the Planning Commission meeting, the County Council meeting, it came forward that the county had hired a lobbyist. And you know what a lobbyist is, yeah?
Yes, I do.
So they hired a lobbyist to represent the interests of the county. But it comes forward that these two individuals are also paid by Syngenta to push forward their issues and similar Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. So we have one lobbyist representing three different interest groups that shouldn't necessarily all be parallel. And so what do you think about that, for example?
Okay. First of all, lobbyists are people who are working for other people. To not necessarily, I mean, not all of them have the same point of view as far as who they're representing. They're just making good money. And if they have a result, then they make more money. Corporations are, they have a board of directors and they have stockholders. Now, stockholders need to get their stock checks paid. So these lobbyists go out and try to push whatever product that's on the line, whether it's going to help us or it's a deterrent to us. Our main concern is that, yeah, bring your lobbyists, but we have the vote. Oh, these guys, what they intend is still superficial.
Well, I mean, yes and no. I don't mean to argue with you. I'm just really glad to be talking to you about this because I know that you do so much community involvement. I know who this is. You're in the Lions Club. You do all kinds of things to help. In fact, we can do a plug right now. You're going to have a pancake breakfast next Sunday?
Yes, we are at 30th.
The 30th. Okay, yeah. So the Lions Club, they give out scholarship kinds of wonderful things. I know you tend to MC a lot of events. I know that you have lived here between here and Oahu, pretty much your whole life. So I'm framing that for respect there. And I'm glad to be debating this with you because I differ with you on this. What I find when I go into a planning commission meeting or a council meeting or any of those, how much those elected or appointed officials depend on us to give them information. And I appreciate that the county council's been listening pretty well. You know, I mean, they've done a very good job. But what I see happen is the mana'o, or the knowledge of what comes forward from the people, makes a huge difference. So it is way bigger, way, way bigger than electing somebody. You elect somebody, you walk out of that voting booth, and you decide, I'll see how you do in 2 years. Things are going so fast right now that cannot be the level of engagement that we have. And that's where we're talking about activism versus engagement or in alliance with engagement.
Absolutely.
We need both because, like, I've been being an activist. In a little bit, we'll talk about, like, these marches in March for the GMO issue. I just went over with a handful of people to Molokai.
Yes.
And how much it's needed for people to sit there and just rattle the cages of government because there are paid activists on the other side that are, in fact, on the inside. These people, like when we're seeing the regulators or the water commission or whatever, are basically lobbyists for groups like Monsanto. And when we have Monsanto being appointed to the top of the Food and Drug Administration, it's very, very concerning that you cannot sit back. You cannot relax. It's like more than any other time that I've been alive. Maybe I'm just waking up. We have to sit there and engage.
You've been engaged for a while, Felicia. The modern communication age, I mean, almost information is almost instantaneous compared to back when we had to wait till the next morning on the Garden Island, which is an aid towards us. We, the governed, are the ones that have this ability now. Now, with the lobbyists that are supporting and bringing in their money, and in Manao, and Manao is supposed to be an intellectual conversation. With this love, there's a give and take between both sides to find a common ground. With the lobbyists and these corporations coming in, yes, they're looking at, we're a small island, we couldn't buy them out. For sure we can't buy them out. But we can vote out what we need as far as paperwork, to make sure that these people are gone in some way and that the jobs are replaced with something that is equitable and also in the ag department.
Well, what's come up a lot is the possibility of growing hemp there because hemp will bioremediate the soil. There are lots of applications of hemp. And it's also something you don't have to eat or smoke. Hemp isn't the medicinal kind.
You don't want to smoke hemp.
No, you don't want to smoke hemp, especially, or marijuana grown on toxic soil. We need to pull all those toxins out. If they end up in rope or, you know, some sort of fiber product or building material, I think that we can live with containing those toxicities into something like that.
It's just problem that the way the law is written in Congress, you can actually go and get a license from the Treasury Department to own and possess marijuana. All you have to do is prove that you have it on your person when you walk in the door. You got to get through the guards.
Well, you can get a medical marijuana piece and something. I'm not sure if they've totally finished through this legislative session, but I did see it pass both houses, and that was good. Decriminalizing marijuana, you know, and it's $1,000 fine if this goes all the way through. I'd say that's a win, certainly for the government. They don't have to spend reckless amounts of money prosecuting and containing people who are dependent on a sedative, you know.
Absolutely. Now, about 15, 20 years ago, I met a prosecutor from Los Angeles County. He was the first guy to put people away for smoking joints. And after a while, he left, for whatever reason, but I met him here in Kauai. He left and started educating people. He said, the problem, well, we can grow hemp and all of this, but it's all categorized as cannabis. It's all, if it's a cousin or a distant relative of that plant, it's all within the same writings and the law. Now, he said, well, the problem is money. Take the money out of the drugs. Quit selling it over the counter. And we'll stop the problem.
It will. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. I'm at the top of the hour, so I have to make sure and say that. With the drugs, I mean, if you just like when alcohol, when we got past the prohibition time, we get past the crime that's heavily associated with alcohol.
Well,
certainly, there's still drunk driving. There's still family abuse. There's still plenty of things that happen when when alcohol is used too much.
The alcohol situation, it took a bunch of street gangs with nobodies and made them powerful people, the mafia.
Mm-hmm. My family,
yeah. It was these stupid laws. Go ahead, the guy stopped drinking. People are going to find what they want, period, no matter what it is. They're going to go look for it, and they're going to find it somehow. Could it be an apple from a certain place? Or it could, like drugs, same thing. Treat it as a thing and tell them, go ahead, grow your own for your own consumption. You sell, we bust you.
So I want to ask you, taking that point, mm-hmm. when we look at regulatory corruption and bureaucratic corruption, what has been, you know, on the Associated Press and Reuters, I mean, it's even at this point shameless. We see how Wachovia, United Bank of Switzerland, a number of these different international banks are absolutely doing business with the major drug lords. It's not even a question. It's not me being speculative. I don't have the facts right in front of me right now, but it's come up again and again and again.
Check out the Swiss bank.
They don't get in trouble. Right? They don't get in trouble. And then what we've seen, and that was a couple few months ago, the CIA planes coming into the U.S. crashed full of cocaine. There's not even apologies anymore of the fact that our own government agencies have these drug deals going on. We're in Afghanistan, and now poppies and heroin are back to being regular business coming out of that country. That is not me speculating.
Hashish. Yeah.
So whether that's good or bad, it's like when we say we have a certain set of rules for us and there's a different set of rules for somebody else and all these things happen, we don't vote for the CIA. We don't vote for these groups that go in and do this shadow government business. And
but they represent us.
Yes, but we don't have that much opportunity to wait for the polls. We need to be taking action much more swiftly. I mean, it's been happening for a long time, but now we're aware of it.
Yeah. Again, I mean, I always try to stress the point. There are three words in the Constitution. We the people. It is our government. We are the government. We are responsible for who we put in there. And you got these chrome briefcases floating all over Washington. You want to talk lobbyists? These guys got cash in those things. Some people say well over seven figures in cash in some of those boxes. But we are the ones that elected these people to go in. And not just Hawaii, every state. You got guys that have been in there since Christ was a corporal. In his daddy's army. You know what I mean?
That's true, but like I voted for Barack Obama.
I believed
the 2008 campaign. I was so relieved, and we have something so directly opposite, and same with the governor.
Okay.
I do have a bunch of callers holding too. So.
One quick one. The Obama thing, for me, I'll make it short. I didn't know who he was, really, until he ran for office. He possibly is the worst president we ever had. A black man being a president of the United States.
Half white.
Part Caucasian. But a minority, basically. If he was walking to any store and not being the president, he would be looked at differently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in all of these years, all Caucasians. Here we come with a big economic blast. Screwed up. The presidency was lost back when Clinton signed that NAFTA. And you figure it out. Who fell underneath that? Halliburton and the rest of them. If you look in the background of the campaigns of some Reagan, all the way up to even Obama, you see two guys. And they both were, one was vice president, one was secretary of state, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cheney.
Cheney and Rumsfeld.
Rumsfeld. Mm-hmm. They're in the background starting way back then.
Mm-hmm. Ashcroft also.
Presidency has been sold. Remember, he's only in there for 8 years or two terms. You got people in Congress been there before Obama was even born.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And then we have also in Obama's cabinet people who have been there from even Bush Senior, Bush W, Clinton, yeah. We really haven't changed the guard much.
But you gotta love the guy for his speeches, man.
Yeah, and he body surfs, so I like that. Okay, I should take another caller, but you know, maybe call back in later. Okay, thank you.
God bless you. Aloha.
You too. Thank you for all your mana'o. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, a couple brief comments. I hope most Americans aren't aware the fact that the Clinton administration was making friends with the Taliban in the 90s, because the overall plan over all these years is to put a oil pipeline across the top of Afghanistan and then running perpendicular down the border of Pakistan, Afghanistan, to the seaport there. So they were our good buddies. So all this talk about war and I believe 9/11 was actually, they played the Arabs. They played the Islamic individuals, because they knew they really didn't like the United States. But I think that, you know, this is my own humble opinion, and I may be totally wrong, but I believe because they played these folks, who really benefited from all these wars is Israel. Now, I hope I'm totally wrong, but all the evidence seems to point to that. Now, if you look into the 9/11 issue, which is a very complex issue, it raises too many questions. So, I mean, it basically comes down to, I don't trust the people running our country, and I love to hear these gentlemen saying, well, yeah, we're the government. Well, yes, we're the government. I just have gotten so frustrated. I vote for these people. I hope for a change, whether it's KIUC or the thing that really, where the rubber meets the road for me, Felicia, is that I don't own anything on this island. I don't want to own anything. My mom's buried here. I might be buried here, but the point is, I feel for the local people who are getting it big time. You know what I'm talking about. They're being priced out of their own homes. There's rich people who can move. They make more in interest in 1 hour than you and I will ever make in our entire lives. So if you're a local person, you're working two or three jobs just to try to keep, to buy a crummy tract house for $600,000, you're getting the extremely short end of the stick. And so, just forget about this talk about, yes, I know we are the government, blah, blah, blah. But nothing ever seems to significantly change. Just today, I don't know if you heard Amy Goodman's report on the Monsanto. It just shows you how contrasting what Mr. Obama said when he was running first time for president. Oh, yes, we should have GMO labeling. And then, of course, his totally reversal of position. So I don't like this equivocation. I don't like this lying to the people. You know, it's just gotten to the point where, excuse me, perhaps I'm a pessimist, but the point is, I just look at the facts on the ground, and the thing is, it's like most people don't understand that our world is being run for people who want to make money. After World War II, there's an organization called the Club of Rome, and they wanted to reduce the world's population. And so the whole thrust has been to actually do everything they can to reduce the world's population. Now, if you want, in terms of health, the main thing to look at is a thing called Codex Alimentarius. It was started under the Nazis. Now the UN adopted it, and in many countries, like, for example, if you need a prescription for vitamin D in Europe, in Germany, for example, you have to go to a doctor, get a script, cost you $200 for a $5 bottle of vitamin D. Thank God we live Hawaii. But the point is, in this Codex Alimentarius, it defines a nutritive agent as a toxin. Oh, really? Something that is nutritious is a toxin? So the point is, it's beyond Alice in Wonderland. I mean, thank God we live Kauai. At least this is the last decent place to live. But now it's just gotten to the point where I'm seriously thinking of moving someplace, in my last years, where I can, get away from all this development. No matter how lovely Kauai is. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Well, bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, he brought up a lot of really important points. Like one thing where he spoke about, like on Democracy Now, there is a rider that was on the Ag Appropriations Bill that is called the Farmer Assurance, Farmer Assurance Provision. And it's basically that you can't even sue Monsanto, you can't even take them to court. That's an example of how much we have lost freedom in our nation and moved away from our Constitution. Have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
You are?
A lot of the people, and I'm trying to keep in tune to topics of conversation, which is wherever. And as far as education goes, when I was in grade school, I had an early one growing up in the South. And what happened, when the bombs were sent to Cuba and the Bay of Pigs, et cetera, et cetera. I couldn't even cross the highway that I normally crossed on my bicycle to get to school because of troop trains going to Homestead Air Force Base.
And sorry to ask you, but how old are you? Because that's like before I can remember. Are you...
I'm coming 66 this year.
So I should know more about the Bay of Pigs, but that was somewhat false flag. Is that correct?
It was somewhat what? I couldn't hear you.
False flag, like the Bay of Pigs. I know a lot of things.
Yeah, but that was an internal struggle. But, going back to the 50s, so like I said, I had an early political education, which showed me disenfranchisement from governmental structures. And then we moved into Vietnam as I became draftable and stuff like that. And some of those things are still, you know, some of your callers have talked about deception by the government, this, that. And it's been going on for quite some time. It's kind of like, hello.
Well, it has been going on for quite some time. I think two things are happening. I think, you know, just like when we see violence in films or nudity and sex in films, like what is R-rated film? Like an R-rated film from 25 years ago would be like PG practically now, you know?
It'd be soft porn.
Yeah, and then now what we have is, you know, so violent and so graphic that so I think it's the same thing with, you know, what happens in our corruption in politics. Like when Nixon got in trouble in Watergate, well, what did he do? Well, he lied, all right?
Now
lying
that.
Is like what you do on a Tuesday. You do that on a Tuesday. It's like, you know, no big deal. I mean, that's just like a point of doing business. And maybe they were always lying. I really enjoy it when I watch some of those films, like Steven Spielberg put out a few good films where you see what would happen in Congress in centuries past and a couple centuries or one century and how much they were still trying to undercut each other and still trying to destroy the Constitution. But like de Tocqueville said, you know, we have gone a long way towards undermining any level of democracy.
All I can do is agree with you, but I just wanted to bring up a different theme that hadn't been mentioned since I've been listening to you, even though I was in my vehicle and driving. I'm at home now, and I'm outside of my vehicle, so you don't have to tell me to turn the radio down.
Okay, well, thank you. I do have other callers holding, but yes, Vietnam, that's probably, I don't give that enough perspective and looking at what happens then, because
the Bay of Tonkin incident, for example. Hello.
Right. It was a false flag, you know, and that now seems to be.
How many deceptions do I have to, you know, live through before I raise the red, white, and blue to, you know, a level where, you know, we are? Yeah, we are, but look who's got it.
That's right. So thank you so much. And you are listening. Aloha. You are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. I have another caller. Aloha, you are on the air.
Hi, Felicia. It's Coach Lori Patch again.
Oh, hi.
And I just want to ask Yoshi really quick. I know your last caller was talking about deception, and I just believe that this whole fake pine tree that's going to be 80 feet tall, there's a lot of deception with it. So Coach Lori is calling out to all the community to help me preserve my home and help me preserve my house. So I just ask everybody to come out tonight at 7 o'clock at the Kilauea Neighborhood Center
And I wanted to ask Yoshi, I took the time to put together an information board, kind of like what you do at your high school science project, and I'm hoping that he'll let me display it at the meeting.
Well, he has left to start the meeting.
Okay.
I mean, you know, to get prepared for the meeting.
Okay.
I think that if people have handouts, and that could include Lighthouse Christian Fellowship, maybe they want to tell us why they're doing this, or, you know, why we should be happy that this is happening there. I mean, they might have that idea. I think anytime there's a public event like this, people can hand out information. I think it's not an inappropriate place for people to be petitioning in one direction or another, but I think you might have to set that presentation kind of outside while people are coming in. That would be my guess, because
right.
it does really create a specific bias. Though I would think if they have a presentation that they can physically put there, if they come in and they've got a PowerPoint slide or something like that, then I, were it me, would say, well, you guys got your chance. Here's mine sitting over against the wall.
Perfect. Well, thank
you. But that's my opinion. It's Yosh isn't here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had to go out. My granddaughter's here.
No problem.
They just came over, so I missed him exiting. Thank you so much. Aloha.
Okay, aloha. A couple other things that have come up. Oops, we got another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi. Teresa.
Oh, hi. I know who you are. Hey, you know what? I was just about to bring something up that you might be able to speak to, and it sort of feeds into what I was speaking with the person who talked about voting. I saw today that the UN passed their small arms treaty, and you know a little bit more about gun issues than I do. What does that mean? Usually my understanding is if our president signs an international treaty, just like they did with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, that trumps federal. Federal trumps state, state trumps county, international trumps federal. Do you know?
Well, before I even go into the arms treaty, people are under a misconception that federal does trump state laws, but if you look at the 10th Amendment, it's actually the opposite. The 10th Amendment says if it doesn't specifically say in the Constitution, and if a state makes it legal, then the state has power over the federal government. But about the...
Yeah, I want to just pause on that for a moment and say, yes, it absolutely does. The challenge is that, like, just about every other, like, the Fourth Amendment, they all seem to be just about all but evaporated. I don't know that there's much observation on that, and it would really take a very big fight. I think there is, like, a 26th Amendment that's out there. There's another amendment that I've been seeing going around where we could actually ask for a constitutional convention at the national level, and I believe that that's something that should happen.
Yeah, just a lot of people are not aware of what, you know, it says in the Constitution and stuff. And the federal government uses that against people, like, you know, for example, marijuana. They're not supposed to be touching state laws, but they, you know, terrorize dispensaries and growers and whatnot with the DEA and all those guys. But technically, they're not supposed to be able to do that.
That's right. That is accurate.
Yeah.
But I know that they did have a grower. I heard that he might have gotten out now, but he was being sentenced to 10 years in California for being a distributor in these big chain stores. And that was an effort at the federal government to flex its might at the states. They made that arrest after Colorado and Washington legalized marijuana. So those are precedent-setting things like that can happen in the courts.
Yep. And about the small arms treaty that got passed today, all that means really is if the U.S. signs onto it, they have to come up with a sort of enforcement to enforce that in the country. And the small arms treaty is basically saying that they want to stop, like, humanitarian or civilian killings from, like, terrorists getting guns and stuff, but I mean, the truth is the American government is the biggest terrorist, and they're wanting to sign this. It's kind of hypocritical, you know?
Well, and when I would think, what about big arms treaties? Like, what about the drones, right? Like, the small arms treaties, is that meant for individuals, like family by family?
This is for everything. It's from tanks all the way down to small weapons.
Like a knife in my pocket?
No, I don't think so. It's for just for guns, small guns.
Small guns like a
small baby. Arms, you know, like rifles. And
like rifles. Pistols.
Yeah.
And that's an effort maybe to disarm the people. What do you feel about bullets? Like, I notice all these bullets, like literally billion bullets have been bought in the past year by domestic bureaucracies of the government, like the Social Security Administration. What do they need all these hollow point bullets for? I have a theory that maybe that's just to take them off the market. What do you think?
Well, there's two theories. That's one of the theories. Another theory is because they know the American people are tired of their bullshit and arming up against them, and they're preparing for that.
You can't swear. Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry.
No problem. So you think that the American government is afraid of the American people?
Maybe, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're aware that there's, what, 300 million guns in America or something like that.
Is that right?
Know? Yeah.
And do you think it's an accurate fear? I mean, don't they have bigger, badder guns that are pointed at us?
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, if they wanted to come at the American people, do you feel that the national government would be effective at doing that? Or do you think they would have their hands full and they need to disarm Americans?
Well, I don't think the military is going to kill, you know, American citizens. I mean, half of them are their own family members and friends. They're gonna use UN troops, if anything.
So I did notice that the National Guard, this was something that happened about 5 years ago, maybe a little longer. I think it was in the Bush administration, I think, that it used to be that the National Guard was governed by the governor of every state. So
yeah.
The Hawaii governor deployed the Hawaii National Guard. And around the time of Hurricane Katrina, that got shifted. And so it could be that they could choose to take the Alaska National Guard and put them to help with something in South Carolina, just making up those states. But the federals get to now preempt the governor and place them in different areas. And then so then they're not necessarily looking at their ante. And even though the United States is sort of one big collective, we all have different cultures. And having grown up on the continent of the United States, I didn't move here till I was 21. I kind of smile as I watch a lot of people in Hawaii feel like the continent is essentially one country, whereas the islands are somehow unique. But really, every place is unique,
yeah.
You know. Every place has got their whole own self-identity.
Yeah.
So a lot of people feel like we do. Maybe we are an occupied nation within another occupied nation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So you feel like that the U.S. military would not turn on the American people?
I don't think so. I don't think they'll do that. I mean, I got a lot of friends in the military that straight up told me that they're not going to do it, and all their buddies aren't going to do it.
And do they feel any pressure to be trained in that direction, or do they feel confident in their military advisors and commanders that would be the same all the way up the ranks?
I didn't really ask them that, and I don't think they would. Maybe they couldn't even tell me that, so, you know. I don't know.
I would like to hope that that's the case. I would like to hope that that's the case. I know that something that I've said this before, but I thought that was really a nice thing that we saw in the Poipu March was how the chief of police was out there smiling ear to ear in the rain, pouring rain, as people were marching. You were there, yeah?
Yeah, I was there.
And they were all really friendly, actually. It was really nice.
It was kind of like, felt like for once that they're on our side, you know?
Yeah. I thought a lot of good came out of that. I know that I have a little bit of a stiff shoulder towards that organization, and it softened it.
Yeah.
So I was happy to see that.
I was, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you heard what they did in, what was that, Maui? They didn't even give the protesters the road, you know, to march.
Yes, that's true. I think that it wasn't, they didn't give them the road. What, where there was a little bit more tension was on Hawaii Island.
Oh, okay.
There was a little bit of tension between the police and the people there. In Maui, they just didn't give them the road.
Oh, okay.
And I want to make one correction that came out with the, if I can remember it correctly, the U.S. Department of Agriculture grants for the police department. Somebody corrected on that, that, I can't remember, but that, oh, I learned that in Molokai this weekend from somebody whose husband was actually doing the grading for the new police department there, that came out, those funding came out of
Monsanto?
The bailout time. It came out when they were doing some of the financial initiatives, you know, when they were putting money out for construction like we worked on the road here. That you know, maybe the trail of money on that was a little less suspect. But many of us have trust issues at this point with the government. I find
you're not paying attention, straight up.
If you don't, you're not paying attention?
Yeah.
Yes, I think that's true. Do you feel that's everywhere? Every level? Or is there any level that you feel confidence in?
I kind of feel confidence in the county council. I still don't fully trust all of them, though. But above that, I have no confidence.
Mm-hmm. I'm probably on the same page, actually.
That's just kind of sad, huh?
Yeah, we got a lot of nice people in office, but maybe there's just too much respect for the normal chain of command that has been established on down from plantation days as to be those who have the most money. So it seems like, you know, if you come in a nice shirt and you are hired by an organization, that you have more clout than if you're coming unpaid from your heart. That's something that I notice, you know.
Yeah, that's a problem too. And a lot of people who are in office are ignorant to what is really going on right behind our backs that their own government is doing. And if you're going to be in office, you should know what's going on. You know, citizens shouldn't, like normal citizens like me, shouldn't be knowing more than somebody like you when you're making the decisions for us. It's crazy.
Well, I've looked at that and I've noticed that. And I think that maybe part of that is the type of person who would want to run for office hasn't had their faith shattered yet. So that you know, they in all good, true-hearted spiritedness, they think, yeah, they believe the story. I used to wholeheartedly, and I understand where they're coming from, and it is very difficult to look into the background on that. You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. I appreciate all your that you're sharing. Do you have a last thought? And then I've got other callers holding.
No, you can let them go on. I've been on long enough.
Okay, well, thank you for calling in.
All right.
Bye. Take care. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi. Am I on the air?
You are.
Uncle Bobo.
Hey, Uncle Bobo. Hey, we had a good time on Maui, by the way. I mean, Maui, Molokai, but it was a...
I talked to Baka on Easter Sunday, and yeah, he was kind of a little overwhelmed and everything, but he felt the humbleness, you know?
Yeah, and, the Molokai people had so much aloha, and we had just a wonderful trip.
But you know, Felicia, we have it too.
Oh, yeah, we do.
You know, we do have it too. And, you know, Baka being on this Aupua of ours and everything, you know, I keep him, you know, for the young people coming out again. You know, they're coming from their hearts. They're coming from everywhere they can come from. What direction? They have the right direction. But this whole Lakaing, you know, I just wanted to focus on, you know, Ohana.
Yes.
You know, what makes... Our poor are very special in how we stand up and from the North Shore. You know, we listen before we say anything. you know? Yeah. You know, Felicia?
Yeah, and I'm yeah. trying to listen. I'm a little less good at that than you are, so I'm listening. So, like, if
yeah,
you...
You know, my grandfather always told me, you know, you shut your mouth, you listen. You're going to get more knowledge than when you listen by opening your mouth when the old folks talk, you know? But, you know, these government people,
mm-hmm.
they have to listen because we are the people. You know, they're only hired in office because of all of the public that, you know, go over there and vote for them and stuff. And now, you know, it's very neglecting that they're doing shit, you know, like...
No cussing, uh-huh.
Oh, calamite me.
Uh-huh.
You know, it really makes me angry because all these young people are really stepping up to the plate. And I think the government should be looking at this. Especially not our councilmen, but our mayor, our everything. Yes, it was nice in March. You know, March for March.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't see nothing. You know, but I see the young people. I see all of you guys, you know, Felicia, you, Baka, you know, Frank. You know, Eli
Frank, yeah, Tintin.
You know, you guys are ultimate. And I Fern. So love you folks. Because this is really incredible how government can just push the issue and go, later they'll come in folk, you know. And nowadays, you know, it's becoming like a rebellion thing. Like, what, they're not going to listen to us, so we got to stand up for ourselves.
Well, I have to say, I think people are really empowered. It's kind of, it's exciting. And I think they better start listening because you know what? There's a lot of really bright people like Fern and plenty of people who are going to come in and they're going to take those jobs.
And they are good.
They're good people.
Yeah. And Jonathan, too, you know, with all this, the kind, what the KIUC and
mm-hmm.
everything.
Jonathan Jay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll vote for him.
Yeah, I did too.
You know, it's just the Ohana. You know, if politicians listen how they were raised and everything, they might get it. You know what I mean?
I do.
Because they have to listen to somebody, but they forgot.
Well, I think that... Well, that's when I was debating the caller close to the top of the hour who said, you know, we got to go out and vote. Well, voting is just the start. Staying engaged is really, really important and actually helping these people write their legislation. And I think taking some very direct action. I think that it is a point, like when we went to Molokai and we went over on the boat, it was all, you know, a lot of I hope we get a Akamai listener who called that maybe went on that trip. There was a lot of loving people there, and they have all the same humbug that we do.
Dustin calling.
Dustin, he was going to maybe come in, but I know he's just been running himself ragged.
Yeah, he got to take his Ohana too, you know, everybody had it. But mainly what I was saying, if Ohana come together, you know, the politician listen, how you got over there? You came to Ohana ship, you know?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And that's how we were raised over here too, in our with Grandpa Kalani and everything. We had to listen. We cannot speak. But you know, the gaining of Manao and everything, you never gonna lose them.
That's right. Hey, you know what? I want you to come in to the studio here, and I want to record you doing something for our Wave Riders, you know, because what's something I've been on KKCR now for almost 2 years, and am so, I don't even know what the right word is.
Really close.
And what I realize is how important the community voices, and that's why I bring in all kinds of different people right into the studio here too. Because
you're very beautiful.
Well, thank you. And I'm just learning so much, and I think we're all learning together. And when we have activism stronger than any of the other islands, it's because I think that we are able to unite as a community. And so I guess I'm giving a plug for people to, when we
it's
do our
so
fund drive,
right.
I want you to come
it's
and
so
do an
right
ad.
What you're saying? Because, you know, when they wanted to take care of our traditional and gathering rights,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have to voice out to the public because we did fight very hard to have our rights see it stand on the law, you know? They cannot take away our rights, you know, these politicians or whoever making the laws and stuff because it's placed already. Do you understand what I say?
I think I need you to clarify. I mean, I think I agree, but I don't totally understand.
Clarifying, no. They wanted to take out the Hawaiian traditional gathering rights to what the Hawaiian people had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they want to take that and a lot more. Mm-hmm.
You know, and we were very poor know how we did things and how we got our things set. This was a long time ago. This was like, you know, what, 90? Early 90s or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we really fought hard for this. And the whole state, you know, we did a march to the legislation and everything. Cool, you know? And, yeah, we did a job to where our whole ancestral being, you know, we got to protect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You know, Felicia, I love you very much, and I gotta go because me and Mom having dinner tonight, so, yeah.
Okay, well, give my love to her also.
I will too.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I love you, Felicia.
I love you too.
Mahalo for your mana'o and everything you have.
Same. Yeah? Okay.
Okay. Ahoi ho.
Ahoi ho.
Mahalo mopono.
Aloha, thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Denise. I live over by the Maui YMCA surf camp area.
In Haena?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been off island for a while, but I'm back now, and I run regularly in the area, and I noticed that there's another large home being built just a few houses down from the cemetery on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a major home going up. I just wanted to get the word out on that. I don't know if anyone's aware of it or not, but maybe some people might want to take a spin out here and check it out.
Yeah, I think that it's really important to be looking at that. I saw Hope, she sent me something, too, where the Pa'oku Heiau is, you know, area right around it is being separated out into condominium property regimes, and that that he'au, which is right up there on the ridge overlooking Hanalei, that might need a little bit of love and protection as well. I know that Princeville is pretty conscious when they have a he'au like that. I know that particular piece before was being offered up to the public good, because I was on the North Shore Business Council, and we were looking at that, and we were kind of fought every which way about anything we might be able to do with that land. So it did not get placed that way. Now, that was a different ownership of Princeville. But, you know, we have to sit there and listen and pay attention for almost everything that comes forward. It's tough, you know, all these meetings. When you're talking about the big house right there near the Iwi Kupuna or the burial sites in Haena near the YMCA camp, Maui. We have something similar that we were talking at the beginning of the show at the Kilauea Neighborhood Association meeting. And so if people live near there and they come and they listen about what's coming up there, the planning directors are going to be there. I think people could put forward a little note about that location out there in Haena. But what will be being discussed is, because there's a parallel, the landowner down near Kahili Quarry Stream, that's down Rock Quarry Road, and there's another big Hawaiian word there, Papahanao Moku Akea, which is the big marine reserve there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a house that was put, and it was originally put forward with a 34,000 square footprint footprint, right, to be on the land there. And when we're saying here there's an estuary that's so fragile and so fine that we're making this the largest marine preserve in the world, yet we're going to allow a very high impact, like mini resort type of a house to go on there. And I was among those who was really concerned, because we see beach access after beach access being eliminated. And where you're talking about at Camp Nowy, there was a beach access right there also. Many people used to walk right by there. I don't know that they still do, but it used to be a place that many people were utilizing the beach. It's a natural place for going out, throwing net, and things like that nature. And so I was at the Planning Commission meetings when the owner's representative, of course, he's not there. It's an attorney there.
Figures.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as an attorney that I feel like is one of my friends, but now is always representing these high-dig people, but they made the commitment they were going to leave the path to the waterfall open and that they would not build a manager's house and a barn. And so there was that commitment. Okay, great. So finally, we go, all right, build your mansion. But then, very shortly, they closed off the path of the waterfall, and I try and remind them of that, and they said, oh, well, you know what, insurance was too expensive. Well, that's a contingency, like staking, when you put an offer on something, you know, contingent on staking. You know, all right, well, if you make it have some hidden contingency, that means your word is no good. I don't know how they can shamelessly come forward again and now say, all right, we want the manager's house and the barn. It's like, well, didn't you make a deal? Didn't you make a deal? And I'm not saying that it's their fault, but coincidentally, right across in the view plane from this house, there's a spit of sand that the nature, there's a nonprofit, I'm forgetting their name, that bought that land to make sure it stayed like a park. It's a dune that was filled with trees and life.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past year or two, the trees have been being poisoned. You can see clear evidence, and they've been being cut, and they've been being burned. So there is vegetative desecration happening there. So the trees are being killed off, and now that big house has an ocean view. I wonder if it was them who was creating this destruction in their view plane, if that's so wise, because it could easily, the ocean could come as the dune goes away. Those trees hold the dune in place. They make it land. When there's no trees, the ocean can take away that whole big sand spit, that whole big sand dune, and then they're going to have a whole different thing on their hand if they're then all of a sudden beachfront property, you know, might start to become a problem. But if that is happens, again, they're killing the estuary there. That's an estuary that really feeds the fish all the way back and forth. There's natural patterns that happen. And so we have these tendencies that are really dark, and precedents happen. So I'm both speaking to what you're speaking about and paralleling it with this event tonight, because if people do come, somebody listening, I'm assuming you live in Hyena, I believe you said that?
Yes.
So it's probably not likely that you will be all the way up to Kilauea at the neighborhood center at 7 o'clock, but, and maybe others are, and maybe the county might be listening. They said that they would be, that every community goes through this, every community cares, and people who live in Kilauea, they care about Hyena. People in Hyena, they care about Kahili Beach.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We care about every place all around. We understand how important it is to be maintaining the integrity of our natural environment and our road access. I went with the Open Space Commission around to these different beaches that are supposed to have public access guaranteed. And again, I hope that attorney is listening, and you know that I care about you, attorney, but he's representing places where they take public roads and public accesses and over time claim them.
Wow.
We have a situation called government roads where neither the county or the state is exactly sure if these beach access roads are theirs or not. And sometimes they both kind of go, well, it's not mine, because they don't want the responsibility of keeping the road maintained. And so a strong lawyer can come in and sweep that away, and what we see very evident on is the placement of mature trees, the placement of signs that say private road, but they're being placed maybe 200 or 300 yards back, creating a narrow area where it becomes very difficult to turn around. It's intentional, and these are little takes. In much of this show, we've been talking about the mission creep of corporate private entity on the public space. And this is a micro example of that.
It is.
Do you have any hope? Do you know anything about that big tree? I had somebody call also from right in that area across the road, though, a very big tree that was going to be cut down to be probably turned into a high-end vacation rental. Have you heard?
The tree is down.
The tree is down.
Yeah, it's huge. I run by it every day.
I'm so sorry. Can you tell me again where that is?
It's on Alamumu Road. Alamumu, or I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it right.
Alamihi, maybe? I don't
know. Yeah, well, there's Alamia, you know, and then there's that loop that goes along the beach, and that's called Amumu or Alamumu Road, and that's where the big tree came down. Yeah, they're doing a lot of work in there.
So is it on the mountain? Is it Mauka, or is it on the ocean side of Kohio?
Oh, it's the ocean side.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if I can do anything, if I should be trying to call someone to find out if this... They're doing a lot of digging for this home, and this is a very sensitive area.
So is this the same home?
This is a brand new home that's going
in. Is this the same one that removed the tree?
No, this is a different one. This is just two houses down from where all the controversy was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right in that area there, and it's very, I was very concerned when I saw it. I was like, wow, this is a major home going in, and, you know, they're digging, and they're back there working with trench diggers, and I'm like, well, what if they're digging up stuff, and we don't even know about it, you know? I mean, we don't know what's going on. They've got a kind of private area back there.
If you can also call that into...
Sovereignty Hour tomorrow?
I know Kai.
I'll
cut you, Lonnie, or Donovan. It might be Donovan in there, but that is a show that is highly focused on that, and the listenership is highly focused on that. Are you a Facebook person?
No, I quit a few years ago.
Okay, because if there was maybe ask one of them. They could put it up on Facebook, because that seems to be the strength of the activism that is in motion now. And when you look at this house, does it look like it's, you know, a multimillionaire?
Oh, it's going to be. They're digging trenches right now. They're laying all the foundation groundwork for it. So this is the big digging phase that's going on right now. I've run by there twice now. The second time I ran by this morning, I went a lot slower so I could take more in. So it's very concerning. That whole area, that whole area is sensitive. There's probably other burial sites in that whole area. That was a spot for royalty. Hawaiian royalty were only allowed. That place was kapu for the common Hawaiian. That was, you know, that whole beach area. And there's, who knows what they're finding. I don't trust any of those people, you know, that these wealthy people that come in from, usually from the mainland, and start digging, you know, putting these multi-million, $8 million homes on the beach. Horrible.
I think what happens is a lot of times they have layers of people between themselves and the expression of their desires. Like, they're, you know, they speak to a person who speaks to another person who speaks to the realtor, you know, and that there is this complete disconnect. It's really hard. I hope when we have this neighborhood association meeting, I would really, really like to see the owner of the land there. It would make all the difference in the world if you see that person making a connection and saying why he needs that and why he would promise to not close the road. That's what they do all the time, is close the road, or what his intention is with reopening to the waterfall. They look you eye to eye. You know, when somebody's real, it's a little bit easier to deal with it. I sure hope the pastor of the church, John Schmeling, comes to the meeting tonight. I notice he has been strikingly absent in any of these things of speaking with the cell phone tower. And that's really disturbing also. Like, if you send your parishioners to be the front line, to basically be, you know, looking for your economic gain at the health of the rest of the neighborhood, it's tough. And that's what happens, you know, when we see civility.
Right.
And then people, you know, don't want to be civil anymore.
No, they don't.
And it's like, 'cause you're putting, in the case of what you're speaking of there, it's like an eraser to history, and it's a desecration of a sacred space. And in doing something like a cell tower, that is putting a gun to everybody's head who lives in that neighborhood. You know, it's a slow element of poisoning people. You know,
oh, sure it is. I don't trust any of that stuff.
It's tough, and so, you know, you're supposed to go and just say okay.
Well, it's just like at the airport. You know, I have yet to go through one of those radiation machines.
Me too. I won't.
I opt out every single time.
Me too. I won't surrender my power.
But I still feel violated when they pat me down. You know, we give up our rights every day, little by little,
mm-hmm.
in this country.
And that's another really great example, because just down the runway where the private jets come in and out,
there's nothing.
Their bags aren't even looked at.
I know.
And so if you had the commitment to want to somehow terrorize the nation or somewhere else, you'd think you could manage to get on one of those planes.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a class issue.
Sure it is.
And, so it's very disturbing when they have those things.
Yeah. Well, I will try calling in tomorrow on Sovereignty Hour for sure. Hopefully Kai will be in and I can get the word to her. She'd be the key person to know about this.
Yes, and she would be. But
yeah.
Donovan will also really get it out.
Oh,
there.
I'll call either way, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, so that'd be 826-7771. I know you know the number, but in case there's other people who have an issue and would like to speak. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Okay, aloha.
Aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, Felicia. I was just wondering about the meeting tonight. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot of people showing up. Is it going to be in the same space as it normally is, or might they move it to the school or something?
It's going to be in the same space as it normally is, but the gym is right there, you know, if it got too big.
Okay, they'll just move next door.
I think that's a possibility, and, I hope that it will be an overflow crowd, because that helps to send a real signal. A lot of times there are issues that I know are very important, and since I've been doing this show, especially, people will call me and call me and call me about issues that are so important to them, or they'll put it on my Facebook page, and sometimes I'm really surprised when I show up to a place and there's very few people there, and it's important for people to not get apathetic and think, all right, she's my barking dog, or somebody else is going to take care of this. It was like when we were hearing Yosh saying, you know, people come to the KNA meetings when there's humbug and they need help less than when, you know, maybe it's proactive and time ahead of time. I think if you care about your health, and there are these types of cell phone towers going up, as you know, you need to go out and be able to be present. The interesting thing, I'm just saying it again, is that the government folks are not allowed to even utter that they have a concern about the health. People have to say they don't like how it looks, and we might not like how it looks, and we have to say we don't like the economic impact, and there is a very real economic impact.
So,
but,
okay, the government cares about our economics, but not our health.
That's, well, the federal government has tied the hands of the local government. It is very unfortunate for them. And so when there's a good body count there, it is helpful for the government to be able to say, look, there's a big body count here, and everybody doesn't like how it looks. So
I'm sure there will be tonight, and I'm sure people are concerned that their neighborhood could be next. So I reckon the Kilauea folks and a lot of people from around will be there.
Well, I thank them and I thank you. And, it is very important, because it goes neighborhood by neighborhood. And right now there are cell towers all over the place, but there aren't that many 4G cell towers, and there's only one other one in a neighborhood, and that's in Wailua. There's one in Anahola. I mean, I'm hearing things like Bell's palsy and, you know, challenges around them. It's hard to get people to want to, like, drive all the way up here, though, and talk about their health issues on the air. And
sure.
So
the thing I don't understand is why they're saying they need that. I mean, they have mass complaints about people's cell phone coverage.
Well, I mean, they do need one somewhere in that. People are moving to 4G, like there aren't very many 4G up there. I don't have a smartphone, but when people are doing things like, you know, being on the internet or watching films or something on there, it takes a lot more bandwidth, so they need that. And then my understanding is the one that they had on the plateau in Princeville, that lease was up and it was not being reinstated because people around it are concerned about the health issue. So they need another place, and we probably do need one somewhere, but we need to make sure it's in a safe area. We're getting close to the top of the hour. Kirk Smart
okay,
is going to be in here.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. With the history of jazz. And I want to give a shout out to the Lions Club for the pancake breakfast, and we're going to hear the county council report as well.